Welcome to A Khatra Dialogue, a journey through timeless literature. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of A Khatra AI.
Welcome to the deep dive. You've brought us a profoundly intimate yet somehow universally resonant novel today. Anita Shreve's 1998 bestseller, The Pilot's Wife.
I have. And for anyone looking for a shortcut to understanding literary domestic suspense, this book is just essential.
Yeah, it really is.
Shreve, who we sadly lost in 2018, was a true master, a real architect of these intimate psychological dramas. She had this incredible gift for taking a seemingly stable, quiet life, you know, in New England, and showing you the explosive instability hidden just beneath the surface.
And this novel, I mean, it really cemented her literary significance, didn't it? It became this massive hit in Oprah's book club selection.
It did, because it speaks so powerfully to a shared kind of primal fear.
That fear being the core mission of our deep dive today.
Right.
We are dissecting how far that chasm can truly stretch between the person you think you married and the stranger you suddenly realize you shared your life with.
A truly terrifying thought.
We're looking at the full transformation of the main character, Catherine Lyons, from wife to unwilling detective.
And that journey begins with the most dramatic catalyst imaginable. For Catherine Lyons, the foundation of her 16-year marriage, her identity, her entire world is just shattered by a sudden, violent intrusion.
A knock on the door.
A knock on the door at 3.24 a.m. on a bitter cold New Hampshire morning.
And that specific time, 3.24 a.m., it's so important. It's the absolute dead center of the night when your vulnerability is at its highest.
Exactly. And the news delivered is devastating. Her husband, Jack the Pilot, is dead. His flight, carrying 104 people, crashed violently into the Atlantic Ocean off the coast of Ireland.
So the initial framing is just pure chaos.
Complete chaos. She is instantly plunged into this sudden public widowhood. Her picturesque, historic coastal home, which was her sanctuary, is immediately besieged by the media.
Her private grief becomes a public spectacle.
The novel doesn't let her mourn in peace for a second. It forces her to navigate this media storm and, you know, the needs of her 15-year-old daughter, Maddie, all while she's still processing the sheer finality of Jack's death.
This transition from personal loss to public drama is Shreve's first, I think, brilliant move. But what prevents the book from staying a simple tragedy is the immediate creeping intrusion of doubt.
Yes.
You start to realize, right along with Catherine, that this was not a clean accident.
That's right. The integrity of the tragedy itself is corrupted almost immediately. We meet Robert Hart, the union representative. He's trying to offer comfort, but he's also the first person to hint that the investigation is uncovering some deeply troubling anomalies.
What's so fascinating here is how the narrative uses hard evidence, the source material of the black box, to plant that seed of suspicion.
The black box, right. Hart reveals that the flight recorder data is, well, it's inexplicable. In the final minutes before impact, there was this total unexplained silence from the cockpit.
The silence itself is chilling.
It's terrifying. It suggests intentionality. But then there's that specific strange noise recorded just before the end.
The click.
The distinct click of a latch opening and then closing. It's a mechanical sound that carries the weight of all possible terror pilot suicide, a struggle, or worst of all, an act of external malice.
The moment that information is shared, the entire dynamic shifts. Catherine's initial passive grief is just completely derailed.
Yes. She goes from being a woman mourning her heroic husband to a desperate advocate needing to clear his name against this terrifying possibility of, you know, terrorism or even willful negligence.
And that accusation requires her to stop being just the pilot's wife and start investigating the pilot himself.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, it's the theme of the fragility of marriage and trust, just tearing through her illusion. Catherine starts the novel so insulated, defining herself purely by Jack's stable career.
She even tries to rationalize her situation, doesn't she? There's that line where she muses, marriage is a series of compromises, and sometimes the compromise is to accept that you don't know everything about your spouse.
It's such a poignant line.
Mm-hmm.
But looking back...
Looking back, it sounds less like wisdom and more like a justification for a kind of comfortable, willful ignorance. Her mission, then, is no longer just about clearing Jack's name publicly.
No, it's about reconciling the man she loved with the potential monster being described in the media. And that investigation has to begin where the crime started, in the home she thought they shared.
So let's follow her there. Jack Lyons exists in this novel purely through memory and revelation, and he emerges as this complex, almost archetypal figure of duplicity.
He was the quintessential compartmentalized man, a concept Shreve explores just masterfully. His charm, his good looks, his professional competence, all of it mask a completely separate, elaborate life.
And the power of the section is in the smallness of the details that undo her. It's not some dramatic confession she finds.
No, not at all. It's an accrual of paper. Cryptic financial statements suggesting a secret stash of money, a receipt for a luxury London hotel that he certainly didn't visit with her.
A key to an unknown post office box.
It's the sheer weight of these small mounting betrayals that begins to fracture her memory of him. And the final poignant detail is that receipt for expensive binoculars she never received.
He was buying luxury items, maintaining relationships, possibly even residences she never suspected, all while presenting this image of the dutiful husband.
The psychological burden of these discoveries is just staggering. She realizes she hasn't just lost him to death, she lost him years ago to his own secrecy.
There's that powerful insight in the text, something like, she realizes that she has been a widow much longer than she had thought, perhaps for years.
Exactly. His emotional departure preceded the plane crash. This internal corrosion is what makes the betrayal so complete. A lie requires constant upkeep.
Like a living thing.
Yes. As the text reminds us, a lie has a life of its own. It needs to be fed, it needs to be protected, and it is hungry. Jack's deception was a hungry entity that just consumed their shared life, making every single memory tainted by doubt.
And crucially, we have to talk about Maddie. The mother-daughter dynamic becomes this painful coming-of-age story for the teenager.
Maddie adored her father.
So for Catherine, the betrayal is marital. For Maddie, it's existential. They are both forced to reconcile the loving father and husband with this increasingly flawed, secretive stranger. And they have to do it together.
The revelations force Catherine to realize that staying in New Hampshire, surrounded by the physical artifacts of a lie, is just impossible. To truly find out who Jack was, she has to physically break free of the safe boundaries of her marriage.
Which is why the journey to Ireland becomes absolutely critical to her arc. It's a literal manifestation of her mental break.
It marks her crucial transition from victim to active seeker of truth, regardless of the pain it might cause. She's following this trail of cryptic clues, forcing herself into the foreign landscape where Jack spent his compartmentalized time.
And that's where the climax hits with just brutal emotional force. In Ireland, she tracks down Muir Bolan.
This is Jack's Irish lover, and far more devastatingly, the mother of his four-year-old son.
The brilliance of this confrontation is that Shreve avoids the cliché catfight. Their meeting is characterized by shared grief and this mutual stunned recognition.
They were two women deeply deceived by the same man, existing in separate realities that he crafted with his lies. They share a bond through his absence and his betrayal.
But it's Muir's dark family connections that reveal the final catastrophic layer of truth about the crash.
Right. Jack wasn't just maintaining a secret family. He was dangerously complicit in the shadowy world of Muir's brother, who had IRA ties.
And the full revelation is so complex and morally gray. Jack had agreed to carry a package onto his flight, and he genuinely believed it just contained money.
Perhaps as a way to financially support Muir and his son without involving his New England life. A way to keep the compartments separate.
But the package was not money. It was a sophisticated plastic explosive.
And it was intended for a later empty flight. A chilling detail that just underscores the casual cruelty of the plot. But the plan went disastrously wrong. The bomber was forced to arm the device while Jack was still flying the plane full of passengers.
Which brings us to the moment where Jack Lyons' moral ambiguity just peaks. He knows the bomb is active. He knows it's set to detonate.
And he realizes the plane would crash over a densely populated Irish landmass, potentially killing hundreds, maybe thousands on the ground.
So he makes a split-second decision. He deliberately plunges the plane into the frigid Atlantic Ocean, killing himself and all 104 people aboard.
It's the ultimate paradox, isn't it? His final act was simultaneously heroic, preventing massive civilian casualties, and a direct consequence of his criminal weakness and profound betrayal.
He became a savior only by addressing the catastrophic results of his own long-term recklessness.
Which forces us back to the central synthesis of the novel. The absolute unknowability of others.
How can you absorb a man who was both a loving husband and father and a liar? A man who endangered everyone he loved, but then made a final heroic sacrifice?
The question that haunts Catherine is simple but devastating. How could she have been married to a man for 16 years and not have known him at all?
And the novel refuses to neatly categorize Jack as either a saint or a simple villain. He embodies the complexity and shades of gray inherent in human morality.
He was capable of maintaining love and compartmentalized affection in two separate places, yet he also maintained the deception that eventually destroyed everything.
Treve uses such powerful literary devices to ground this abstract complexity in physical reality. I mean, think about the symbolism of the ocean.
The vast, cold Atlantic. It's so much more than the crash site. It's a terrifying symbol of unknowable depths, holding the secrets of the black box and Jack's hidden life.
Just as we can only see the surface of the sea, Catherine could only see the surface of her husband.
And her historic coastal home, the supposedly stable foundation of their life together that functions so beautifully as a symbol of their marriage. When she starts finding those incriminating clues.
Receipts, the keys.
She is finding corruption buried within the very walls she thought protected her, shaking the foundation of their entire history.
The peak of Catherine's emotional arc is that painful duality of her loss. She realizes she isn't mourning Jack. She's mourning the idea of Jack.
There's that moment where she grasps she had loved him, but she had loved an idea of him, a version of him that may never have existed at all.
The resolution shows her painful emergence from that illusion. When Catherine returns to New England, she is armed with the full, devastating reality.
And she has to decide what truth to live with and, more importantly, what truth to share with her daughter.
Which leads to her final, compassionate choice. She tells Maddie a compassionate lie. She only reveals the heroic narrative that Jack died saving countless lives.
She minimizes the devastating impact of his betrayal and his criminality. By doing this, she accepts the full, hard-won, painful reality herself, bearing the weight of the secret. But she protects her daughter's memory of her father.
The novel ends not with justice or closure, but with Catherine emerging as an individual, Catherine Lyons, a survivor no longer defined by the title The Pilot's Wife.
A powerful transformation.
The profound, lasting impression of the novel is the challenge it poses to you, the reader. If absolute knowledge of a spouse results in catastrophe, do all intimate relationships require a degree of comfortable illusion just to function?
And is the desire for complete transparency even realistic?
The story teaches us that true strength lies not in preserving those comfortable illusions,
but in the painful, necessary work of building a new, resilient identity when those illusions are irrevocably shattered. This conversation ends here. We'll meet again with another unique work of world literature. This audio summary is brought to you by Acatra Foundation.